Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Truth in God's Word Radio, coming to you from North Central West Virginia. Stay tuned while we expound on God's Word. Jesus said, "Continue in my Word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here's your host, Pastor Jim Newsom.
Yes, good morning. This is Pastor Jim Newsom, and this is Truth in God's Word Radio. It's 14th of December, 2015. It's 8:17 on the East Coast. I come to you from Central West Virginia. I had a little technical difficulty this morning. A power went out, so I'm back on now. Today we want to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, the grooming of a prophet, God getting his prophet ready to prophesy what the Lord puts within his mouth. The Word of God says that God will try those and groom those that he has called. Isaiah was probably one of the greatest or the greatest messianic prophets of all time. He spoke a considerable amount and pointed towards the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is what the Bible is all about. The Word of God declares that the Old Testament points towards the New Testament, and the New Testament is Jesus Christ fulfilled, the soon coming King. Glory to God, the author and the finisher of our faith. I say it every broadcast, one of my favorite scriptures. The Savior of our souls, glory to God, the healer of our bodies, the lifter of our burdens, the bearer of our burdens. Our all in all, our incoming, our outgoing, our high tower, our present help in the time of trouble is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're going to go into the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, speaking of the prophet Isaiah and the grooming to be a prophet. Verse 1 states, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." His train filled the temple. This is pointing towards the majesty and the holiness of an almighty God. The one that is preeminent, the almighty, none above him, never will be. He's Lord, he's master, he's the creator, the Word of God says, of all things, including me and you today. He created us, the Word of God declares, in his image. But before we go any further, we want to emphasize King Uzziah. Now, King Uzziah, the Word of God declares, for the most part, was a good king. But it did not end well with Uzziah. He was a king at the age of 16. He reigned for 52 years over the nation of Israel. 2 Chronicles 26:4 states and said, "He done that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He waged war against the Philistines. And when he became very, very strong, then he became arrogant and led to his destruction." He became prideful. When people have victories in their lives, see, we have choices even then. We can either give God the praise for doing it, or we can take the honor and the praise ourselves, which the Word of God declares he will not share his glory with no man, with no being. Matter of fact, we find in the eons of time that there was an angel named Lucifer who later became Satan, who decided to exalt himself above God, who decided and made the statement, "I will lift myself above the Almighty God. I will receive the worship that's given to God." He was found prideful in his heart. And in Proverbs 16 and 18, the Word of God declares, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Verse 19 says, "Better it is to be in a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." Psalmist David said, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to be out amongst the congregation of the world and doing the things of the world and receiving the accolades of the world and receiving the pats on the back." Pride certainly comes before a fall, and pride is probably our greatest enemy. We have to come to the end of ourselves, and this is what's going to happen in this particular chapter. We have to come to the end of ourselves and realize that it's not about us. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus Christ, and it's about Him crucified. The Word of God declares in Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, will thou not despise. When we come before God, we have to recognize that we are simply a creation. He is the Almighty God. Now, men go about in this world to establish their kingdoms, their points of dominion, their agendas. But make no mistake about it, as we studied in Psalms chapter 2, that the God of heaven will laugh at the efforts of men to become God. That's not going to happen. He'll share His glory with no man. So the best thing for us to do is to humble ourselves under the hand of an Almighty God. Pardon me. In the due time, the Word of God declares, we will be exalted. And pride does go before destruction. So we want to read an account here of what happened with King Uzziah in the book of 2 Chronicles. Chapter 26, verse 16, declares because of pride he went to the temple to offer incense upon the altar. He had to know within his heart that this is, in that time in history, that there was only one group of people allowed to minister in the temple, and that was the Levitical priesthood. But for some reason, he got in his mind, he got in his heart. And we look back at these examples in the Bible, and we think, well, I'm above that. Well, that alone is pride. That alone is pride. When you think you're above something, when you think you can't fail in something, when you think you have all the answers, when you're a know-it-all, there's a lot of those in the church today who know everything. Beware of people that know it all. Beware of people that are arrogant and self-exalted and self-righteous. This is definitely a sign of a spirit of religion. A spirit of religion that sets in a lot of churches today. But 2 Chronicles 26:17, Azariah the priest went in after him. When Uzziah went into the temple, Azariah the head priest or the high priest went in after him. And the Word of God declares that 80 other priests follows him. And the Word of God declares that these were all brave men. They were sold out to God. They give their life totally as a living sacrifice. What could God do with a man that's completely, or a woman, or a boy or girl, that's completely yielded to Him? Completely yielded unto His will, His perfect and His divine will. 2 Chronicles 26:18 declares, they stood against him and told him, listen, only the sons of Aaron that were set aside for the Lord's service could offer incense. The Levitical priesthood, they told him to leave. They said, it's time for you to leave. You have no right to be here. Your place is to be king. You have done what God's called you to do, to be the political leader of this nation, to be a protector of this nation. But you have no right under this Old Testament reign. You have no right to come into the temple of the Lord and offer anything. You're not of the tribe of Levi. And the Word of God says, like most people with pride, and I'm by no means coming against Uzziah because we are all prone to this. Because of his pride, he became angry. And he sought to do it anyhow. And the Word of God declares that when he did this, that leprosy rose on his forehead before the priest. 2 Chronicles 26:20 declares, Azariah saw him and hurried him out of the temple, for the Lord had smitten him. Bible says it's a horrible thing to be in the hands of an angry God, full of mercy, full of grace, full of love, yes. The Word of God declares when Jesus went into the wilderness that Satan offered him the kingdoms of this world, and he told him, they are mine to give if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not worship any other God except the Lord thy God. Thou shalt put no other gods before thee. Quoting the Word of God. So the preeminence of God in our life is of the utmost importance. 2 Chronicles 26:21, the Word of God declares he was a leper unto the day of his death. It cost him. His pride cost him. Pride will cost you. Arrogance will cost you. Pride leads to rebellion. Rebellion leads to the spirit of witchcraft. I don't necessarily mean standing around a pot with a witch's broom stirring a cauldron. But I'm meaning that when people are prideful and arrogant, they become manipulative. They will manipulate and try to get people to do what they want to do. They are experts in blackmailing. Their methods. They are of for lack of a better term, a Jezebel spirit. But he was cut off, tell me, from the house of the Lord. His pride cost him. His pride cost him. Satan had pride. Lucifer had pride. It cost him. He was cast down, never to be forgiven. He inquired of the other angels, and many took up with him and received the same punishment. The Word of God declares the angels kept not their first estate. They did that which was inconvenient, what they were not created. And the word creation, created here is the key word. Satan is a creation. He's a powerful being, yes. But he can never overcome the Creator. God is God. He'll always be God. I am that I am. He's omnipotent and he's omnipresent. He's an all-knowing God. So Uzziah was cast off. He was quarantined. He died a leper. Now, leprosy is a sign of sin. Heard people say it's sin turned inside out. It's the condition of the inner man. If we could see on the inside of the inner man, whose life is riddled with sin, we will find spiritual leprosy. Spiritual leprosy. And the Word of God declares that his son Jotham took his place. So we see how pride brought this great leader down. And there's many examples. In the Bible, there's one of a man named Nebuchadnezzar who wasn't necessarily a king of the Lord. He was called a king for a time and a season. I don't know his spiritual condition. I've heard many people say, and I don't dispute that when we get to heaven, that Nebuchadnezzar will be there because he was chastened of the Lord. And when he came out of that chastening, he declared there was no other God above God, our Lord, our Savior. But he became prideful when he thought he had built the kingdom of Babylon, which God used it for a purpose. Every nation that is brought up, every leader that is brought up, God has a purpose in that leader. Daniel declares that nations go up and nations come down at the will of God. Leaders come up and leaders come down at the will of God. God is in control. But Nebuchadnezzar was very prideful. Daniel warned him, and he said, Nebuchadnezzar, listen to me. You haven't built this kingdom. God has built this kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar said, well, look around. This is my glory. This is what I have done. And he had been warned, and the Word of God declares that at an instant his sanity left him. God help us today. His sanity left him. And he was cast into the field. Word of God declares that he bent over for 7 years. His hands become like eagle's claws. He grew almost like to a point of having feathers, the Word of God declares. And he ate grass with the oxen. He was not in his right mind. And God, through his mercy, brought him out. And after that experience, he must have remembered it, because he declared that God was God, that everything that was going on was God and not him. You see how pride will bring us down? How pride will bring us down? And Word of God declares in verse 2, and above it stood cherubims. Each one had 6 wings, and twain he covered his face. And with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. We see here a cherubim, which was one of the creatures that God had created. And Word of God says, standing above God, one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, the holiness of God. Covered his feet, the holiness of God, and with 2 he flew around. Now these holy creatures, according to the Word of God, ministered unto God. This is the vision that Isaiah is seeing. You got to look at this from that perspective that Isaiah was seeing this thing, and there was a reason why he was seeing this. The Word of God declares in verse 3, and one cried one to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. We have host here, which means military forces consisting of God's angels. The Lord of hosts, the God of war, so to speak. The Word of God declares his glory filled the temple. And the Word of God declares his glory not only filled the temple, but it filled the entire earth. The Word of God declares in 1 Kings 8:11 that when the glory cloud came down in the temple, that so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. This is at the inaugural of Solomon's temple. The dedication of the great temple that's, many say, was one of the 7 wonders of the world. A place for God to abide. But you can't box God in a building. He is in the whole earth. The Bible declares the earth is his footstool. So we see the holiness of God being displayed here. We see Isaiah looking upon this, being a mere man. Now, listen, I don't care who you are, this will have some kind of effect on you when you come into his glory. You can't leave the same way you came in. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Word of God declares, there is liberty. Isaiah 61 says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Moses said, show me your glory. And God said, you can't look upon my face, because if you do this, you'll die. And the Bible says, I'll show you part of me. And the Bible says, he passed by, and Moses got a glimpse. Now, Moses was a man who walked and talked with God. God spoke to him verbally. So we see the holiness of God. We see the holiness of God. Make no mistake about it. And the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. And the only way that me and you can be holy is through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. For our righteousness is but filthy rags before the Lord. Word of God goes on to declare of what Isaiah saw in verse 4, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. A lot of people call that the Shekinah glory, the midst of the Lord, the the heaviness of the Spirit of God descending down on mankind to change man in your presence. All fear is gone in your presence. Things change. So we have, like I said, the grooming of a prophet here. The grooming of a prophet. Seeing this magnificent vision. He was not the only prophet that saw this type of a vision. Ezekiel saw this, and John the Revelator saw this same vision, so to speak, when he saw Jesus Christ, his hair like wool and feet like brass, and upon his vesture was written the words King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And out of his mouth proceeds a sharp, two-edged sword. His countenance, the Bible says, was fearful. For it's a horrible thing, the Word of God declares, to be in the hands of an angry God. All of us will stand before him. Pointed in the man wants to die, and then the judgment. Verse 4 says, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. So we have Isaiah here seeing the glory of an almighty God. We're going to go on in the next broadcast and speak how it changed this man. How it changed this man. How only the Spirit of God can wash us from our iniquity and from our sins. Only his Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So I would say the key lesson that we have learned today is watch out for our pride. We see that God is a holy God, and pride will not be tolerated in his presence. Pride comes before a fall. We are prone to fall. And one of pride's greatest attributes, well, not attribute, I don't reckon, but one of pride's greatest signs, I guess, that we become self-righteous and we become self-deceived. The Word of God declares in the end times that many will be deceived and deceive many. This is where we're at. So we'll continue on tomorrow in verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 6. This is Pastor Jim Newsom, and this is Truth in God's Word Radio. You can email us at truthintheword777@gmail.com. truthintheword777@gmail.com. If you don't know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today, call on him. The Word of God declares, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered and shall be set free. The Word of God declares, if you confess with your mouth that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if you believe he is Lord, you ask him into your heart, you ask him to forgive your sins, you denounce all activities of evil, then the Word of God says he'll come in and save you. Eradicate your sin. Behold, the Lamb of God, John the Baptist said, that takes away the sins of the world. If you're sick in body today, reach out today and know that God still heals. He still delivers. He still sets free. If you're fighting a mental battle today, then know that the Word of God declares he was chastised for our peace of mind. He gives us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. One of the greatest weapons that Satan uses is condemnation. But when we are of Christ, the Word of God says in Romans 8:1 that therefore those that are in Christ are not condemned. Who walk not after the flesh. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. In other words, our own power, our own strength, but walk after the Spirit. We look unto the author and finisher of our faith. We look to the finished work of Jesus Christ done on the cross 2,000 years ago. Shall we pray? Father, in Jesus' name, whoever hears this today, you said your word will not come back void. It'll do that which you sent it to do. It'll be completed. You'll cross every T, you'll dot every I. And I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that one out there today that doesn't know you, they call on you, Lord. They would ask you into their heart and into their lives. That one that's reaching out today for healing, God. Lord, we know the Word of God says to call the elders of the church. And Lord, anoint them with oil. We can't anoint them with oil today, Lord, but we can pray the prayer of faith over them and ask you to heal them. You said you'll heal their bodies and their sins shall be forgiven them. We ask you to touch that one today that's fighting a mental battle. That you give us not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That you chastise for our peace of mind. We ask you to touch that one today, Lord, that's having a financial problem. Set your affections on things above, rather than on things below, and all these other things shall be added unto you, the Word of God declares. We ask you to touch them, Lord, lead them out of that valley. Whoever hears this today, Father, touch them, Lord, in a mighty way, in the name of Jesus. Stay tuned tomorrow. We will go on into the book of Isaiah, beginning with verse 4, the grooming of a prophet. May God bless you.